Friday, April 3rd, and we are back with the Chamber's insights into the economic impact of the coronavirus and making it through the week. Chris Heinecker.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. I hope you've had hope you get a good weekend, because it's been a heck of a week right now, hadn't it? I mean, the news couldn't change any faster. It can't get any more depressing still. It still can. It keeps getting worse. We are finding some bright spots. We've been bringing them to you guys, and you've been sharing them with everybody. So thank you for what the Catalyst is doing. What I thought we'd do today, Joe, is because there has been so much happened over the week that since it's Friday, I thought we'd leave everybody with a couple, you know, kind of a roundup of all the things going on, so people kind of really have a mindset of what has happened, where are things going. And, you know, to do that well, we have Mike Mydell, who's the Pinellas County Economic Development Administrator. I'd love to bring him in the room.
Yeah, and just one quick favor before we do, please let's be on our best behavior, because he's actually my landlord. And At the Tampa Bay Innovation Center where we live. So
That's right.
Just, you know, we've been keeping the place spotless, and you know, we're good. Yeah.
He doesn't want to know you're there though, so be careful.
That's right. Welcome, Mike. It's good to see you.
Hey, thank you.
Mike, how are you today?
Good. Yeah. A lot of good things happening as far as we've got a business working group that is private sector manufacturers and distributors, the hospitals and county government, trying to work together to identify personal protective equipment for the hospitals and for the first responders. And it's going really well. We've got locally made masks now, face shields. These are the plastic face shield that covers your entire face and is used by the first responders in particular, but increasingly by hospital staff that are dealing directly with people who've been positive for COVID ID. They're producing about 3,000 a day. These are throwaway masks, so single use. But that has been developed over the last couple of weeks. They're producing, you know, like I say, about 3,000 of them a week, and they hope to increase that. But we've got good supply for both the hospitals and the first responders. So that's kind of our first success.
So Mike, before we get into all the successes, because that's a great one, because a lot of people are worried, do our first responders have the kind of equipment they need? And we have a major medical device manufacturing consortium in our community, and you've been working closely with them for years and years. So that's one of them. But before we get on too much farther, just tell our listeners right now who you are and what do you do, so that they understand why you're on today as far as the information you're going to provide us.
Certainly. I'm Mike Mydell, and I'm the Economic Development Director for Pinellas County. We, on normal days, we try to recruit businesses to the area, primarily manufacturers and IT companies and financial services. Now we're working again to develop that alternate PPE. The other half of my current department is the Small Business Development Center, and they work with small businesses on a day-to-day basis to help develop their business plans and financing opportunities. So they are geared up to handle the state bridge loans and to assist with the SBA loans.
Got it. So you're the guy that, I mean, really, for the entire county, and for those of you who are watching that live in St. Petersburg, I don't know if you know, there's a rest of a county. It's called Pinellas County. There's more to this than just
the Wilmington Road. Yeah, there's some stuff up there.
There are, but you have responsibility to make sure all of that works well. And you're also part of, you know, the team at this county that gets together on a regular basis to hear all of what's going on. So you're part of what you understand what the governor has told us, the county, the sheriff, the hospitals, and the businesses themselves. So that's how you're able to really connect what you just started talking about, which was, hey, we learned our hospitals and first responders do need this kind of equipment, and you're able to do it locally here rather than waiting for any kind of national or state supply of it, of those kind of things, correct?
Yes, and others within the Emergency Operations Center at Pinellas County are working with the standard suppliers and are working with hospitals, nursing homes, homeless shelters, the entire community. So we've got over 18 working groups. So the business group is only one of them. The rest are working with almost every aspect of society, trying to meet the needs and find solutions.
Well, let me just pause you there because I think it's important for Joe, for any listener to understand, because everybody's held up in their house. They're on social media and other platforms. They're looking for information. What I think they really need to understand is there are people that are hard at work. Mike just mentioned 18 teams that are covering every issue that our county might be going through and putting the right professionals. And they're getting on these kind of calls and making sure the supplies are there, the concerns are addressed, the opportunities are taken advantage of. So one of the things that people don't get to see is what Mike does every day, which is make sure that this keeps running the right way. So Mike, give us a little bit of understanding of just how, you know, the governor made his announcement yesterday and our county is under that same kind of work at home environment. Help people understand just how it has responded in Pinellas County. What have you seen from that?
Sure. The sheriff is pretty happy with the response of the community. They people, for the most part, are obeying the orders. And the order right now is, if you don't have to leave your home, don't. I mean, that really was what it amounts to. Stay at home unless you're going to get food or you're going to get medicine or you're going to care for a loved one. Now, there are some companies that are considered essential, obviously the first responders and the grocery store workers. Many of our target industries, those people that sell product outside the local area, can do so either at a home office or at a maintaining the proper distancing at the factories and distribution centers. So the sheriff is, and the governor and everyone, the county commission, is okay with those operations continuing. And what we want is to make sure that employers are ensuring that people maintain that 6-foot limit and as much as possible avoiding the 10 people or more in a group. But the 6 feet is the real key. And the sheriff is spot checking. He's gone into several call centers. And right now, they seem to be maintaining that 6-foot distance. They're closing every other cubicle and doing what they need to do.
Well, we've talked on the show a couple of times how well our government officials, like the sheriff's, doing. I mean, nobody knew this was coming, and he's done a great job of that. But I do want to express to our businesses, there's a lot of businesses, first of all, that are essential. There are quite a few in our community that are running today. But please, if you're not following those same 6-foot guidelines and being safe for your employees, don't be working right now, and don't make the sheriff come close you down, because he doesn't want to do that. He's trying to make everybody do whatever they can to keep working right now, but he's also got a job to do. So that's one thing. And also at our city as well, many people said, man, I see a lot more police out and around. That's what they're supposed to be doing right now. They have orders to make sure that we're being safe with ourselves. So, but you're hearing our businesses so far so good right now on how they're performing. Let me ask you now about how the businesses are feeling as far as, you know, you're dealing with what the chamber is dealing with too. I think we've made 2,000 calls on businesses right now. We're hearing a lot of the horror stories. In fact, we just learned, Joe, I don't know if you heard this, but we just learned 70% of the calls we've made 2,000 calls on businesses. 70% are ultra concerned about their livelihood going forward. So that 30% of those businesses that are still working, that's why it's important for them to keep the rules straight so they understand how to keep working. Because if you don't keep working, you get in that category of, I don't know if my business is going to be able to open again. And we've got a lot of those. But there's some relief. We talked about it all week long. Mike, what are you hearing about? You run the small business development centers here in Pinellas County. What should people know about the SBDC programs?
Yeah. Well, first of all, in general terms, looking at the economy as a whole, we have done some estimates based on the the unemployment first time claims data from the federal government, and then what we know about the structure of our local economy and the state economy. And we estimate that now in February, the official unemployment rate was 2.9%. And now we're estimating that it would be at least 6%. And so more than double what it was. And that's about 30,000 people out of work right now. And obviously that will continue to grow as people close down their businesses. And again, the important thing is keep that 6-foot rule, abide by the rules, and you won't wreck it for everybody else, because the sheriff and the county commission will have to take away that essential status from people, and they can do that. And the county administrator has been authorized to close individual businesses if they aren't responding to the orders. So don't ruin it for yourselves, your employees, and everyone else by not following those guidelines. But on the loan department, on the Small Business Development Center, there are 3 different loans that are available right now to small businesses. And the first is the SBA disaster loan. It is it's 3.75% for up to 30 years. And it's for small businesses that have at least 2 employees and not more than 100. You can borrow up to, it depends on the size of the business, but you can get at least $2 million, up to $10 million for that program. Now, that's a normal SBA process where you apply online and it goes to Atlanta to the SBA offices and they process them and create the loan documents and get them back to you, all electronically now because of the COVID virus. But they have a huge backlog. We believe the last report I got was there were 2 million applications nationwide. That was a week and a half ago, and I have not heard an update on numbers since, I think primarily because oftentimes the system is crashing with the volume of applications that are coming through. So it's a long process. It takes about 2 hours and 10 minutes to fill out that application. But it is it's a good source of funds, and it's a long-term source. You can use it for payroll. You can use it for any capital or operating costs. So it's a good
program. That's one of the three, but I'm going to reinforce this on every one of them for our listeners is you're going to have to be patient. Everybody's going to have to be patient because you heard the numbers. Our systems, the government systems are crashing. They weren't set up for this kind of volume. So getting it in early and being very patient is going to be part of this process, I think. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. And, you know, many of the systems were set up for hurricanes or, you know, regional disasters that have an end to them. And having this ongoing uncertainty is just not what they were equipped to do. And they've loosened the guidelines. So many businesses qualify that, you know, the huge number of potential applicants is just overwhelming the system. Locally, at the state level, there's a bridge loan that's designed to provide quick response to get you some cash until the SBA loans come through. Unfortunately, that system is overwhelmed as well at the state level. Now, we do local processing for that, but the application still has to go through the state. And the process of taking those in and getting them out to the region has been slowed down quite a bit. We've got about 123 applications that we are currently working here locally in our office, but there are at least 800 more from Pinellas County stuck out in that state queue. So be patient there, but that's up to $50,000. It's only for private sector employers, for-profit employers, and you have to have 2 or more employees again for that. So, and that is 1 year interest-free. But after that 1 year, the interest rate goes to 12% and goes back to day one. So you definitely want to pay that loan off in that 1 year time frame. And you can do that through an SBA loan. So the idea is you get the money from SBA and you pay off your bridge loan.
Right.
And then third is the one that you've probably heard about most recently in the news is the Payroll Protection Program. And that is being done through local banks. But the U.S. Treasury Office still hasn't worked out the details with the local banks to make it possible for them to process these loans. The best bet for right now, because we've seen changes in the application, we've seen changes in the process over the past few days, best bet is probably to get with your banker and find out if they are an SBA lender and find out what their process is, because you're always going to have a better chance with your own banker that you had that relationship with as long as they're an SBA lender. Now, if you find out they aren't, you can go online, and I'll give you the link at the end here, and you can find out who is in the local area and begin to make those connections. But that is up to 250% of your monthly payroll, and the loan will be forgiven if you use it for payroll. And you can also use the loan for, and have some forgiveness for up to 25% of the amount. You can use it for utilities, for use it for rent, for your mortgage interest, and on top of the payroll. But at least 75% of the usage has to be payroll in order for that to be forgiven. That program is 2 years at, we don't know the interest rate yet. The Treasury keeps changing that, but it'll be low in the 0.5% to 1% range.
Great. And, you know, and I think that is the one that's most popular. We did a town hall on it midweek. We had a lot of good bankers on there. I'm getting a lot of texts from my bankers as I speak saying, make sure everybody understands to moderate their expectations of speed on this as well. My understanding is now even the application may have changed over the last 24 hours. So if you have think you're ready to submit today, please just check again with your banker. Stay very on top of this one. It's an easy way to get good money if the money gets to us and we get it in the system. But what I really want to make sure people understand is our bankers, your bankers in St. Pete are telling you, get it in, but be patient and be ready to maybe give them more information than you thought. So the more information you have collected about your payroll in a file for the last 12 months, the better off you're going to be. My understanding also, there's a lot of folks that are unemployed right now. I've also heard, unfortunately, our unemployment system is kind of hard to get online as well. And now they've gone to a paper system too. Are you aware of that? Or
wasn't aware of the paper system. Not surprised, as backup for, you know, the electronic systems. Florida's, you know, every state has their own unemployment system and how they respond to it and their requirements for receiving unemployment and so on. Now, the federal government has come in, and part of that CARE Act is providing an additional $600 a month over the top of whatever the state normally provides for unemployment. So that's to help you fill that gap. So that'll be available automatically once you get your application processed. They've also waived the normal requirement of waiting a week of unemployment, you know, being laid off for a week before you apply. So you can apply immediately if you can get through. And there's an extended term of unemployment insurance. So it goes through December of 31st, no matter who, you know, when you apply. So they are doing what they can at the federal level to set the guidelines differently. But of course, in the process, with all of the layoffs and downsizings, there's a lot of people lined up to try to sign up for that. And since they can't take people in person, it all has to be done electronically now.
Wow. Okay, so again, another, you know, caution for those who've lost their job, put your application in for unemployment right away and be patient with that system as well. But there's an opportunity to get additional resources. And I just want to make sure all of our burgers get what they can get as quick as they can get it.
Well, and the whole purpose of that payroll protection program is to try to keep people employed so they don't overwhelm the system. But the timing of these two offers is, you know, got to be problematic, but hopefully the payroll protection will get in and people are allowed to rehire people they laid off. So if someone gets their PPP loan, they can go back to their employees, rehire them and pay that back pay and be able to be able to get that loan forgiven.
Great. So there are some options. They're starting to get more clarity on it. So Mike, that's a lot about just, you know, how our counties function. What else should we be aware of as business owners or people working in St. Pete right now?
Well, I think we're still looking for donations for the fire and hospital and fire EMS people. And we are collecting those donations both today and tomorrow from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock at the Tropicana Field parking lot and at Walsingham Park in the middle of the county in Seminole. And what we're looking for is if you've got any N95 masks, which are those, you know, harder masks that cover both nose and mouth, full face shields, gowns that are like surgical gowns. And many of our companies have clean rooms and they've already donated their bunny suits that they, you know, get into the clean room, gloves, and then disinfect it. So those sanitizer wipes and Lysol wipes and that even homeowners might have is something that we'd like to have donated that we can get out to those first responders. And beyond that, next week we're going to be setting up collection centers at some of the fire stations around the county. So you'll be able to go to your, you know, one of the local fire stations and donate those goods.
Great. So if you're a business or if you have some of those supplies at home, just so we know it, today's Friday. So Friday and Saturday at Tropicana Field, right. You can go at the parking lot there. You can drop those off and no contact kind of drop off. So it should be safe for everybody. But please help responders be concerned with their health and safety, as well as any of those frontline workers that we are helping us, those food preparers that are taking care of our to-go orders, the folks at Publix, my son, one of them who's out there every day putting stuff on the shelves and making sure that people get the resources. There's a lot of people putting themselves at risk to keep us going. And I appreciate you making sure that they get the right resources as well.
And if you have a large amount of supplies, our staff is actually going out and picking that up and taking them directly to the staging area. So you can actually fill out a survey on our website, which is www.pced.org/donate. And PCED is Pinellas County Economic Development, the four letters there. So it's the abbreviation.org/donate. And that will give you can list the material that you have and we'll make arrangements to come and get it. Or you can donate it at that site 10 to 2 today and tomorrow.
I just want to urge everybody, if you can do that, please do that. Okay, just really get to that site and donate. I know that everybody's trying, but everybody's asking me what is a critical need. But Mike's working on critical needs, so get on that page, which is pced.org/donate. But Mike, you also have a resource page as well that you want to tell people about.
Yes, the donate page, by the way, will have a list of the items that we're looking for, so you can go through that list and see what you can do. Now, our main page for all COVID-related information, including the loan program. So there's details on how to apply for the loans and Q&As and everything on there. Plus just ongoing news about, about the COVID virus and the county's response to that. And it's all found at pced.org/COVID-19. And that's without a hyphen, just COVID-19 will run together. And that'll get you to that page and you can scroll down and find what you're looking for right there.
Great. Well, Mike, first of all, thank you for taking care of our entire county. And you have a lot of responsibility to make sure a lot of folks get the resources they need and the information they need and helping our businesses actually get those applications in. So I'm sure thank you for continuing to support our businesses in St. Petersburg as well. We appreciate that. And Joe, on our next broadcast, the mayor and the city team are releasing the information about Fighting Chance, which is that local effort for our local businesses who are impacted in either retail, hospitality, bar, or personal services. They're all going to wake up tomorrow on Saturday learning about a whole new program of resources for them. And I'd love to bring some of those folks into the room and understand how our burgers who might not qualify for these other programs or still have put their money in and are waiting to get some other additional resources. I really think this is going to be a little longer than we all hoped. And so we've really got to make sure that they have access to everything they can just to keep themselves resilient through this process. So I think we've got a lot more work ahead of us.
I just want to highlight logistically. So the drop off at Tropicana is 10 to 2. This will air. This will be published after 2 on Friday, so your window is going to be 10 to 2 on Saturday.
Correct. And then you'll go to the fire stations, which will release those locations next week.
Yeah, thank you.
And we'll have all the information out about the Fighting Chance program in today's edition of The Catalyst and bring in the right guests next week.
Perfect. All right. Well, Mike, thank you for what you're doing. Get back to work. And Joe, thank you for a great week of spreading the information about what's going on in our burg to keep everybody safe and sound.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Stay safe.
Thank you.